Hello, and welcome to USGS CoreCast. I'm Catherine Puckett. I have a question for you listeners. How would you like to be a citizen scientist and help us keep an eye on climate change? Interested? Listen up. I'm talking today with Dr. Jake Welpsing, a USGS scientist and the executive director of something called the National Phenology Network. Jake, welcome.
Thank you.
Before anything else, you have to tell us, what is phenology?
Well, phenology is one of those old-fashioned words that means the study of the timing of life cycle events. And that sounds complicated in of itself, but what we're talking about is things like when flowers bloom, or when birds migrate, or when animals go into hibernation, or when the leaves change color in the fall. This is phenology. We study it, we see it all the time, and it's a complicated word, but really a simple process.
Well, why is phenology useful for studying climate change?
As we say here in our offices, timing is everything. And it just seems that the timing of when plants and animals are active and active across the landscape is a fantastic indicator of climate change. So plants and animals are integrators of their environment. In other words, all the different things that are happening around them show up in terms of their activity. So birds are migrating earlier in some cases because of changes in global temperatures or regional temperatures. Flowers are coming up earlier in the spring because of changes in soil moisture or warmer springs, or even sometimes you don't have cold winters. So the timing of plant and animal activity is controlled by environmental variables related to climates, and climate change causes changes in the timing of plants and animals.
So sometimes you can get things out of sync, is that correct?
Well, yes, I think the take-home point is not only are things coming earlier, so we do have lots of records of flowers coming earlier and birds coming earlier, but it can be these cases where different animals or plants respond differently. So there's some very good examples of plants that show a very strong response to warming springs, whereas some of the animals that depend on those plants for food resources are actually not really changing as much as the plants. And so you end up with a decoupling or a disconnect in the timing of when migratory birds might arrive and the insects that are living on the flowers that are all coming out earlier.
So that in turn could affect reproduction of the birds because they're not getting the food that they normally get, and on and on.
We have seen changes in population sizes caused by shifts in phenology. And this would be, for example, flowers coming out earlier and the bird population is actually crashing as a result of the fact that the resources are no longer there.
Well, Jake, then how can people like us, everyday people who love to do things like gardening or watching birds or just getting out and hiking, how can we participate in the USANPN?
Well, the National Phenology Network is a organization that is designed to bring in what we call citizen scientists, basically volunteers who can help scientists and academics at universities understand how changes are occurring across the entire U.S. And there's just not enough scientists at universities to go out and measure what's happening in their environment all across the United States. So we rely on what we call citizen scientists or volunteers to get out there to get us the number of observations across the United States that we need. We'd like 100,000 observers around the U.S. who are tracking plants and animal activity.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, and what we're trying to do is create standardized protocols so people can go online to our webpage, pick a species that's of interest to them, look at the protocols for monitoring. Protocols is a fancy word for just saying, here's how you do it, and then enter their data online through our new online web interface.
Well, what would be a common species that we might know about? Lilacs?
Lilacs is one common species that's actually been used for 50 years. People have tracked the timing of lilacs, and that's part of our network. Other people might be more familiar with ponderosa pines, California poppies, saguaros, maples. So there's a number of common species that should be in your backyard that would be available for you to monitor.
Well, that's really cool because most of us can recognize at least some of those species. So, Jake, how easy is it to do? It sounds like it's not going to be that difficult. And what do listeners have to do to sign up to become a climate change watcher?
The climate change observer. That's a great way to put it. It's trying to get people outdoors and get people who are interested in participating in climate change science, not just reading about it. So what you need to do is go to our new webpage, www.usantn.org. That's NPN for National Phenology Network. And there's information on how to register, how to make observations, how to enter your data, and we're actually working on tools so that you can look at your data that you've entered and compare it to everybody else's around the United States who might be tracking lilacs or ponderosa pines.
Oh, that's really cool. So how will USA NPN information be used eventually?
We hope to use this information in several ways. First of all, it gives scientists a very, very powerful tool to understand how changes in climate are affecting or impacting natural ecological systems. It'll help us understand also how changes in the timing of different organisms will cause what could be, in some cases, local ecological collapses, where you have species that are depending upon one another, but they're not doing things at different times. So it'll help us conserve biological diversity.
So you'd be able to perhaps have early warning signs of problems getting ready to occur and could even then let land managers know so that they could then try to avert some disasters.
Exactly. We're in effect building early warning systems. So we're thinking about allergenic plants. If you knew when plants were emerging and when a pollen would be coming, you could actually start to manage your own allergies that way with good information. Land managers need information about the timing of when wildfires might occur. And phenology, believe it or not, is tied to the timing of when wildfires occur in the western United States. Honey production is another example. Migratory birds and migrations is another example. Or even for recreation. Wouldn't it be great if there was a web page you could go to where you'll be able to find out real-time the color of leaves in the different parts of the state where you usually go for recreation.
You are focusing on plants this year, but you are going to be incorporating more animals in the near future. Is that correct?
Yes, we're working on building an animal phenology program, an animal monitoring program for the United States that should be ready to go next year.
And that will be things like bees and butterflies and that kind of animal?
Yes, exactly. Bees, butterflies, mammals as well, also working on incorporating aquatic organisms too, like fishes, because there's a lot of people out there who are tracking the timing of when mayflies come out or other aquatic insects and how that impacts fishing.
So people like fishermen and native plant gardeners or regular gardeners or farmers, all of those are people that you're hoping will sign up for this network.
Yes, we hope to have all of these stakeholders not only be involved in helping track what's going on, but then telling us what kind of information they need so that we can help get them tools that they can use to understand their system better.
Ah, so it goes both ways.
We're all working in this together.
Can you tell me who some of the partners are already in the National Phenology Network?
The U.S. Geological Survey provides base level support for the NPN.
What does that mean?
That means they're providing the sort of core leadership towards building and keeping the network rolling and moving forward. But we have some very, very important and significant partners, including the Fish and Wildlife Service, who are helping us build our wildlife monitoring program. We have several universities who are working with us, including the University of Arizona and the University of Wisconsin and Milwaukee. And we have a number of other federal agencies and state and local agencies as well who are working with us. And the Wildlife Society is one very important one.
Well, Jake, thank you very much for being here today and talking to us. CoreCast is a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior. We want you all to go outdoors and start tracking. Thank you.